I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We got calls to get to at 800-919-3776, and we will get to them. It's been a very busy call day, as expected. After last night, we now know for the first round of the playoffs at least who the Knicks will be playing. The seventh seed will be the Philadelphia 76ers. They did hold on to beat the Miami Heat last night. And when I say hold on, it's because the Heat, that game was tied. It was late. And Jimmy Butler got injured in that game in the first half and was limping around. It was like, it looked bad. He grabbed his knee. He was screaming. The guy stays in the game and fights through it. And we find out today, Woj reporting, that he has a right MCL injury, and he's expected to miss several weeks. Several weeks. So even if the Heat win their eighth-place play-in game against the Bulls tomorrow night, which, be honest with you, I don't expect it. They're going to play without him. Like, they're not going to have him for a first-round series, which would be against the Boston Celtics. So one way or another, the Heat season's over, which is incredible because we go into all this stuff thinking Miami is a team you don't want to play and all that stuff. And that injury was significant. And Bart, that's like it opens the door if you think about it. That he's now out. Giannis, we don't know about. Zion on the West Coast, he's out. But just staying with the East, with Giannis and Butler injuries, and Giannis could return. That's what Woj was just saying. He could later in the series, he could return against the Pacers, right? He could. I'm not expecting it, to be honest with you. But with those two guys out of the way, Embiid looked the way he looked last night, which is adjusting the brace, a lot of limping going on with him on the floor. He did not jump well. He did not play any defense whatsoever in that game last night. He still did 23, 15, and 5 because he's a great player. But he did not look like the Embiid that has an MVP-level game at all. So you remove those three players at their best, one of them gone, the other two compromised, is the best way to put it. The door's open, is it not? And if the Celtics have a runway now to the NBA Finals, who has the runway to meet them in the Eastern Conference Finals?
This is tough, man, because you would think, okay, the second seed, the Knicks, because they're going to face that team with Embiid, and then, you know, we were hoping, they're saying, hey, well, the matchup that we want, man, it's the Knicks versus the Pacers. But, well, you can get that in the second round, correct? That's the next one.
It would be the Pacers in the second round. If they beat the Bucks. And if you play the Bucks and there's no Giannis. What if the Bucks win that series because Dame just goes crazy, and then you're playing the Bucks and it's just Dame with no Giannis? Or, again, a compromised Giannis with a hamstring calf that you know could pop at any moment.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So, like, I would think the next possible matchup is the Pacers and the Knicks. If we were doing our brackets like this was March Madness,
that's what you would do.
I think I would have.
You'd fill out your bracket that way.
Yeah, I would have the Knicks going against the Pacers, and then up top, of course, I would have the Knicks advancing, beating the Pacers, and meeting the Celtics in the championship, Eastern Conference Finals.
That's
how I would see it.
To me, again, that would constitute, whatever happens after that is house money.
Yeah.
You lose to the Celtics, you just tip your cap because they're a better team.
I hope you go 6 or 7.
But the whole idea is, like, in the end, the best case scenario for the next season is an Eastern Conference Finals appearance.
Yep.
Get that far, and then you figure it out in the offseason of how to take the next step.
Because you did it without your star.
But can they get there? And to get there, they still got to get out of the first round and against the Sixers. Again, Vegas has the Sixers as the favorite. What I saw out of Embiid last night told me that that's not the guy I'm worried about in this series. He's going to get his points, yes, but he is not playing. He's not moving like he did before last Friday's game. And let's not forget, last Friday, he came back and played 6 games and he looked terrific. And that's when you thought, oh boy, the Sixers are going to be, they're going to be tough. And then he tweaks the knee on the when he landed. He did return to that game, but it doesn't matter. He tweaked the knee. Then we didn't see him Sunday. They had him sit out the final game of the season. He sits out that game. They claimed if they had to play him, he would have. But then 2 days later, he plays on Wednesday, last night, against the Heat. And that game, from start to finish, he did not move well. He certainly didn't jump well.
Yeah.
Played a lot off one leg. And if, by seeing that, what does that tell you about what you think the Sixers are going to get out of him in a seven-game series against the Knicks?
I think they're going to get a guy that's able to put up points, but the rim protection, everything that we depend on Joel Embiid being the corrector when guys get by the last line of defense, he doesn't look like he's willing to take those chances, because that's how he got hurt initially, right? That's how he tweaked it, going after somebody trying to either block the shot. So now you look at it, okay, well, now, you know, the lane is open, right? You know, we can go there. The runway is clear to the basket. And I'm putting him in pick and rolls, and I'm trying to run him off screens.
Right.
I'm doing everything to bump him, you know, aggravate him. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there setting screens. You never know, you know, if your knee runs to his knee, that's his fault. You know, it's just one of those things. So you be extremely physical with him, but you have to make sure that you attack Maxey.
Defensively. I would put all my focus on Maxey.
The same way they're going to put the same thing way they're going to put it on Brunson.
I would. My bigs. I have. Obviously, Hartenstein. You have Robinson. You also have Achiuwa, who isn't as tall, but he still is strong. And Jericho Sims. I got four guys that I could throw at this dude.
And we run it.
And that's the other thing. The Knicks.
Make or miss, we run it.
The Knicks play the slowest pace in the league.
We got to speed up.
I said on Get Up this morning that is the one thing that could play into to benefit
Embiid. He wants a half court game.
You don't want to do that. I think you got to push the pace, man.
Set up the defense.
You got to really push it, and you got to make him work. You need his tongue hanging out in the third quarter, just exhausted. And the knee starting to really start to cramp up on him and start to hurt. How about this stat? This is great. The last 5 years of playoffs for the Sixers, Embiid has missed at least two games in a series in each of the 5 years. So every year he's got something that knocks him out of two games in the playoffs. Your best player is supposed to play all the minutes and never miss time, right? But he always finds something that goes wrong. This time it happened to him during the regular season, and they thought he'd come back and it would all be behind him. But I'm telling you, everybody, the guy I watched last night could not get to an MVP level. He did just enough. He did get 15 rebounds. But defensively, he was not a presence whatsoever. You got to worry about him. But if you got four bodies that I could throw at him randomly, just keep beating him up. And then you have him. Brunson has to seek out. The pick and roll has to involve him. Because you need him moving, constantly moving on defense, testing that leg, testing that knee. That's what this series has to be about. And if the Knicks are dealing with a Sixers team that has a basically one-legged Joel Embiid, it's not can they win this series. Bart, they have to win this series.
Yeah, I mean, how Vegas has them as the underdog against the Sixers, especially at not changing that after yesterday, I have no idea. Especially because the Knicks have dominated the series this year.
Yeah. They blew them out in Philly. Yeah. And even they blew them out the one game when Embiid was on the floor. They killed them. Beat
them
by 30.
That's what I don't understand. Maybe they're putting a lot of weight into the fact that he's a former MVP.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that, and that he's back. And, you know, you got to see how his conditioning. The Knicks are missing a starter and his all-star in Julius Randle.
But I beat you without that. It was a long time without Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Right? When they played back-to-back or whatever, when the Sixers came and stayed here. They had everybody intact, and I think you have to put a president on like the fact that OG is here, and what OG has done, and what he's meant to the winning.
Do you have him guard Maxey, or do you have him help and let DiVincenzo guard Maxey?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Hart and DiVincenzo on Maxey, and then instead of using OG as the primary, use OG as sort of the help and the disruptor. I'm really curious about how they approach this, because the Heat.
I mix it up.
Really, they had a zone going that was completely befuddling the Sixers in that first half.
Yeah, because the Sixers don't have great outside shooting. So, I mean,
they have some good shit. Batum started making threes, and that was a difference maker.
I mean, let's see that happen.
Is that going to happen every night? Yeah, exactly.
He had himself a day.
So here's Tom Thibodeau. talking about the matchup now with the Sixers.
You know, Embiid obviously is a lot to deal with, but Maxey, they have a number of guys. Harris, Lowry's played well for them. Batum, obviously, been around a long time. A lot of big shots. Heal, great shooter, score. You know we got to be ready.
I love when he goes down the roster and just gives you, like, you know, each guy.
Jericho Sims, he's not really physical.
He's not really answering the question. He's just telling you about each guy. Well, Isaiah Hartenstein will be the one that initially matches up with Embiid at the opening tip. So he talked about how the Knicks should defend him.
I mean, it's a mixture of things. Keeping your hands back. Knowing at the end of the day it's an MVP, so he's going to get some calls that maybe don't go in your favor. But at the end of the day, it's really just doing your job, playing team defense, and, again, trying to keep, don't really put your hands in because he's going to try to get it in him, but also smart from him. I mean, why not use it? I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. If he's smart enough to do it and we keep doing it, then that's kind of on us.
It's funny he says that because he's right.
Getting calls.
Embiid gets to the foul line a ton. But how about, did you hear on the broadcast last night, J.J. Redick talking about the foul hunting that Embiid does? And that it's not a bad thing. It's his strategy. He has this ability to get you to reach in, and then he draws the foul. He's really good at selling fouls, foul hunting. Mm. And do you recall that was something that was a negative about Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, sounds bad. I'd say,
oh, he's
really
hunting fouls. That's a bad
really
thing.
Familiar, yeah.
Yeah. So interesting to see how Embiid can get himself to the line, no problem. But for Brunson, it's a bad thing that we need to crack down on. Something to watch in this series. Free throws, big story.
What does Tibbs say? Jalen Brunson.
Oh. He's getting fouled. He's getting fouled. More importantly, the Sixers, you know, all last night, because now they already, okay, now you're playing the Knicks. What do you think? So all the way down the line, from Nick Nurse to Maxey to Oubre even to Batum, all of them acknowledged this is a good Knicks team. They're going to be tough. This is going to be a tough series. You know, they kicked our butts. You know, we got to be ready for them. All the things. They said all the right things. And then there was Paul Reed. He was, instead of with the media after the game, today he was on the Run It Back show on FanDuel TV. And he talked about how, yeah, the Knicks have had our number, but we're not afraid of them.
I feel like we ain't ducking no smoke, but, yeah, we wanted the Knicks matchup. Of course, that's the easier team, I guess. But, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, we match up pretty well with them. They got a great guard. We got a great guard. We also got Joel, you know, MVP. So, you know, like you said earlier, he's one of the most unstoppable guys in the league right now. So they're going to have to send triple teams, and he's going to get everybody else involved, I'm sure.
So they're not dug in the smoke, and they were the easier – they felt like they were the easier matchup. Now, that sounds terrible and without context. What he's saying is, and I'm sure the question was, is you were playing for the 7th or 8th seed. 8th would get you the Celtics. 7th gets you the Knicks. Of course the Knicks are the easier of the two. Celtics had the best record in the sport, right?
Yeah.
So what he's saying is not controversial or outrageous, but it's how he said it, and out of context, it sounds like he's being disrespectful to the Knicks. But him talking about Embiid as an X factor is interesting to me, because we all saw what he looked like last night. How could you possibly feel like he's going to be able to give you 4 games that'll be good enough to help you win? 4 against a very physical, very tough Knicks defense. That's why I think the Knicks are going to win this series, because it's asking a lot from what he looked like last night to think that Embiid can play at a high enough level for you to win games against their kind of defense 4 times in the next 7. That's my assessment here. Whether it's in 5 games or 6 games or 7, I don't know.
Gentlemen,
I can't call that. But I can say that the Knicks, you know, of course they can. They have to win this series, Bart. There's pressure on the Knicks to win this series because this guy is compromised. And it's obvious. There's no excuse of, well, he came back. They're not a true 7th seed. Look at how he came back and he looks great and he's in great shape. No, he doesn't look like he's in great shape. And that knee doesn't look good after he tweaked it last Friday. The opportunity's here for the Knicks to win this series. They have to win this series. Pressure's on them.
Yeah, I mean, we know that, you know, the Knicks are playing without Julius Randle. But that's not a one for one, because this Knicks roster is deep, and guys have filled in these roles, and they played at a high level, and they beat the best of the best, right? You know, when they went out that West Coast trip, that showed us everything we need to know without Julius Randle, just with OG out there, and Julius Brunson and DiVincenzo and those guys.
But Hart can bring.
And what they can bring.
The big men. The right. Yeah. I mean, there's enough
so no
there
excuses.
To win this thing.
It's no excuses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, it's going to be a lot on Tibbs. Nick Nurse is a formidable opponent.
And that's a big part of the strategy.
Basketball acumen.
Yep. Big part of the matchup.
But it should be the Knicks all the way.
Yeah. It's going to be a grinder. Don't expect this to be easy. 1989 sweep. You know, like, you know, the people are going to start talking about that. It's the last time they faced each other, believe it or not, 1989. Yeah, I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
Isn't that wild?
Was that
it was Sidney Green, Johnny Newman, Gerald Wilkins, Mark Jackson. They all grabbed the broom at the Spectrum and swept it across the floor.
The Metaverse Wilkins.
It's another reason why Charles Barkley hates the Knicks.
Right.
That memory.
That's I think so. I think so, because Chuck to say, hey, the Knicks, the Sixers have beat the Knicks easy. Like, come on, man.
You can't say easy and then watch Embiid last night. You can't. After watching Embiid last night, you cannot possibly think the Sixers have the easy upper hand. He's nowhere near the player that he was at an MVP level. Not even close. He wasn't playing defense
at
all.
He's at 70%, and he's lumbering up the court.
Right.
And Miami grinded out on him a little bit, but you know, if it wasn't for Batum.
Made big threes and then made the big defensive play.
Big defensive moments.
Off the coaching staff's recommendation, by the way. That was them telling him, here's the scouting report. This is the play. Be ready for it. And he was. But between, you know, Batum making shots, Hield made a couple of shots. The crowd was booing the home team at halftime, man. Like
thank God for the chicken.
The chicken did turn everything around. And by the way, let's also point out something that might be just an intangible. The three Villanova guys have had nothing but success in Wells Fargo Center. They don't walk into that place feeling intimidated. They walk into that place like, this is home.
Hey, what's up, Steve?
Oh, see those two banners? Those are our banners in this building. Joel, where's yours? Oh, you don't have one. Mm. Yeah, those are our banners.
Oh, you're making it personal.
No, but I'm saying, if I'm the Villanova guys, I walk into there like, no, this is, what do you mean? This is your, this is my house too. Right? Like, you got to feel that way. Don't you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
I also know that if we get a lead on you at halftime, I've already seen the home crowd. They're going to boo your ass.
They know the home crowd.
I already know they're going to boo you, right? And then you're going to start hearing MVP chants when I go to the foul line.
And y'all ain't getting no chicken, because I ain't missing two chunks.
You never know. But I'm serious. Like, this is not a typical matchup. And the Embiid injury that happened on Friday, that stands out to me, and that's the thing to watch. And if you're the Knicks, you have to go at it constantly.
Got to pick up the pace.
Constantly. You cannot apologize for running him through screens, to running into him, playing physical. Hit him. Constantly hit him. Make him move. Make him move defensively, because he didn't last night. Bam Adebayo, to me, let down his team.
Yeah.
Where were you when you looked across and saw that dude who couldn't move? What are you doing?
Should have been attacking him.
Jimmy Butler is hanging on by a thread, just staying in the game to help you, and I'm not even noticing Bam Adebayo in that game. Don't even notice him. Inexcusable.
If it went for Tyler Hero.
Yeah, that game would have been over sooner.
It would have been over way sooner.
Yeah. So that's the matchup. I'll give you now your chance to make your picks. 800-919-3776. James in Spring Valley. James.
Alan Bart, what's going on, guys?
What up?
What's happening?
What up? Nah, big shout out to the company. Yo, I'm nervous. I'm a little bit nervous. I do believe the Knicks are going to win this series. I think they're going to win this in six, but I'm a little bit nervous. Please,
what are you nervous about? What are you nervous about? Listen, what's the biggest concern for you?
I'm nervous about how our bench players are going to be, because last year in the playoffs, they were cold from outside, and the Heat exposed them when they couldn't hit outside shots. I think the key is, you know, listen, they're going to send the house at Brunson. I'm worried about Ken Bogdanovich, Ken McBride, Ken DiVincenzo. Can all the other guys give Jalen the help that he needs? Because losing Randle, that's still big. You don't have a guy that can give you 25 and 12. I know, albeit his postseason struggles, but I need to see, can the Knicks' outside pieces give Jalen Brunson some help, especially when it comes to the playoffs? Because I know Embiid is hobbled, but Maxey is still that dude. Maxey is still that dude.
And he hasn't done it yet. Remember, he hasn't done it on this stage yet as the main piece. So they got to see it. He didn't have a great game. Remember, he didn't have a great game last night. So, all right, James. James, stay confident. Stay confident, James. Stay calm. I'm telling you, there's nothing to be nervous about. But he does bring up an interesting point, which is who's going to step up. It's the right thing to ask. We all know what Brunson's going to be.
It's not the same team from last year as far as outside shooting.
That's true too. Right. DiVincenzo gives you Fournier, a new element.
Doesn't
right.
play defense, so we knew he couldn't play. But DiVincenzo, he's shooting like 40%.
40%, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you got that, and then
who's going to be? Pocket. So to me, in this series, one of two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
This series is not going to be about Jalen Brunson. This series is going to be about: is there going to be somebody that lives in infamy, or is beloved in Knicks history for their performance in this series? So who's the Charles Smith, or who's going to be the Larry Johnson?
Well, I'm gonna go with the Charles Smith is Bullitt.
Who?
No, hold on. You got two Pistons.
Oh, Burks.
Burks, yeah, Burks.
Burks isn't gonna play.
You know what I'm saying, so that's
if Burks is playing regular minutes, something bad happened.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
Burks would be Charles Smith, and Bogdanović is going to be LJ.
Oh, you're going to go with one of those guys. So this could be the Bogdanović series.
Yeah, we hated him. Boo. Yeah. Yeah. Then now he's starting to play better. He's more confident in his outside shooting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That second unit, they're going to need some points from him. Yeah, you know, as you try and get some rest.
Am I crazy to say this is going to be the Josh Hart series?
Hmm.
You know why? Nonstop motor.
But isn't he going to be focusing on defense so much? You know what I'm
saying? He'll be
trying to stay up with Maxey.
Well, he's not the only one, though, but he's the guy that rebound and get down the floor fast, mm-hmm. knowing that there's really no shot blocking.
But he doesn't have to concentrate on his offense as much.
Tobias? His matchup? Yeah. No, right. You're not looking for that, but you're looking for somebody to get
energy.
Rebounds, long rebounds. Rebounds into fast breaks, play fast, score fast, like that kind of stuff. Like, if I'm going to pick one, I'll pick that one. Now, the Charles Smith.
I should go with a brother, but go ahead. I'm going to go with a brother.
What?
Picking me. I'm picking a black dude.
What? You said Burks.
Hardenstein. I'm going with the brother.
You going with Hardenstein? Against Embiid? He wins that battle?
Yeah, just running and off the pick and roll, pick and pop. You know, rebounds, energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Mitchell Robinson's hobbled too.
Yeah, he's fighting through.
And he's still coming back. He's still trying to get in shape. So.
That's why I think you're going to need more than those two at center. You're going to need to throw a bunch of bodies at him. You know? 800-919-3776. Let's go to Scott in Manhattan. Scott?
Guys, listen. You know what? I'm confident. I think we're going to do this in six, probably five. I'm not nervous. For Maxey, you got Hart, McBride, DiVincenzo, OG, like you said, Bart. You can switch it up and play around with it. Hartenstein, Mitchell, Sims, and Embiid, those some other bodies in there, double them down. And I'm not worried. If you worry about Batum, Lowry winning the game for you, give that to me. I'll take that all day. You know. So right now, I think we're good, man. I mean, Embiid, even if he have a good day, he'll get his. But not nervous at all. I think we just will win this series, you know, saying going away.
Yeah, you can't make your own, like mistakes are going to hurt you. I think that's where it'll be more than anything. Thank you, Scott. Right? Like, you got to worry about your turnovers, take care of the basketball, that they are going to want to play fast. Just like what you saw them do, like, you saw them do this against Miami. Miami had that zone going, and they were struggling with it. And then they decided, okay, don't let them get set into their defense, so we're just going to run. Like, we got to get down the floor and get into offense quickly because we don't want them to set up their defense. Once that started happening, and then they were, you know, the turnovers that they had in the first half were killing them too. So the Knicks can't do that. They cannot have any self-inflicted wounds. Oubre on Brunson. Does that concern you? Because it does me.
Well, because he hurt
the length. Because he's got the length. He's got the athleticism. It's just he's really good, you know, in that role. And that can be, and you know, again, what Nick Nurse can do with defenses. He can disrupt everything.
I had to work out the first meetings that they've had.
Well, yeah, you're right about that.
So I'm not. Yeah. Like Jalen Brunson has seen every type of defender.
Right, so you are confident.
Yeah. Well,
all right. We'll continue with your call. You as confident as Bart. We'll continue with your calls at 800-919-3776. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is what we're going to do. This is the Manhasset train from the Long Island Railroad heading to Citi Field.
Turn the lights on and off.
Yeah, there's LED lights in the back train, and you get the... There you go, Rick and Dave just doing the dance. And then you have like the rest of the crew behind them, yeah. Like all the fans, all their listeners filling the train, all doing the same dance choreography.
I feel like they got to have
TikTok video. I need Jake holding the phone, TikTok video. Maybe RJ Santillo.
Yeah. I feel like they need like track suits on with
track suits.
With Kangols.
Kangols and track suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old school bucket Kangol like LL.
Oh, yeah. No, come on.
Like they're doing some street dance.
I'm telling you right now, if Rick and Dave do this on the train.
It might break the interweb.
Seriously, full choreography. Give me a dance. This song on the train. Put it on TikTok. That'll get, it'll go viral. Millions of views. Right? You agree?
Especially if
you
Dave,
agree.
Especially if Dave got hips like Selena.
Dave's a good
secure,
athlete.
Secure.
For I know you look at him and you think something. Dave was a really good tennis player. Is he a good athlete? Is it fair to say he's a good athlete? He's a good athlete.
Tennis players are
good.
He's
a good athlete.
I mean, I was a tennis player.
Yeah. So I bet he can move. I bet he is a sneaky good dancer. How about that?
So
you're judging people. You're judging the book by the cover, I'm offended by that.
I said especially if Dave got like hips like Shakira. That's what I said.
Hips don't lie?
Hips don't lie. But what I'm saying is if he's a former tennis player,
he can
we
move.
Should we change our bets on him versus Anita?
Oh, as far as pickleball?
The pickleball. Yeah, he should be able to have some good top spin.
Listen.
Be able to backspin, you know what I'm saying? Manipulate the ball.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Manipulate the ball.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm not into that.
He can change speeds.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's beyond things that I...
And angles. Yeah.
Really?
Backspin, top spin.
Is he good at receiving?
Yeah, I would think he would be able to return serve.
You think he's
He can be a give. He can give and take.
I want that. That's what I was thinking. It's exactly what I was thinking. Hey, OG Anunoby spoke.
Ah,
which is rare. So let's see.
Yeah, I've never heard him talk.
I know. In fact, it's very little.
That's how you know it's the playoffs.
Exactly. Looking forward to playing his first playoff game with the Knicks.
Oh, excited. You know, I've heard everyone tells me about how crazy it's going to be. And I used to watch their games, growing up. And then even the last couple of years, been watching their home games. So it's been crazy. So it'll be pretty cool to experience it firsthand.
Isn't that interesting that he said he used to watch their games growing up? And I'm trying to like do the math in my head.
Like he's born.
What playoff games was he watching?
Carmelo.
There weren't many of them.
He might have just been trying to be nice.
Maybe. But it's I'm thinking in my head, like, how old is he? And that would make him.
It would have to be Carmelo and Jason Kidd one.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Yeah. Melo, Amari, like that era, right? Those years.
He's probably four.
Not much going on there. But it is interesting that he said he had followed them before, so he knows that the Garden can be a special place. How about just Jalen Brunson, what he's seen out of him?
I mean, I've always known Jalen was really good. In high school, was really good. In college, when he was with the Mavericks, was really good. So it's really not a surprise. He's always been really good. It's just, I guess, just upping the volume, I guess, for him. But yeah, he's always been a great player, so none of it's a surprise to me.
All right, so OG getting ready for the postseason.
Is there like 16 words?
I'm telling
he repeated,
you.
I don't give him credit for the ones he repeated.
Listen, that was 29 seconds of OG Anunoby. Those two cuts. Yep. That's a lot. And he's actually insightful. He just doesn't say a lot. It's just how he is. He's kind of
like he looks like a Greek philosopher.
I like that about him in a weird way. So Paul Reed, the backup center for the Sixers, had said that, yeah, we wanted the Knicks, that it was the easier matchup, which again, he's not lying. He's not wrong. The Celtics were the other option. They didn't have many options. So the Knicks were the easier matchup. And he says that and how, you know, all this stuff about how we have Embiid, MVP, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, now we're running to the other locker room to say, did you hear what he said?
Mm-hmm.
So Isaiah Hartenstein was told about Paul Reed's comments and his response.
I mean, that's his thoughts at the end of the day. I mean, we're focused on what we got to do. I think that's what podcasts kind of do. They just make sure they get you comfortable, and then people just say shit. So at the end of the day, we're focused on us. Whatever comments they have. But we're focused on our team. We're focused on just getting better every day and getting focused for the Sixers.
Do you have a feeling that this is going to come back?
So you're right, brother.
At some point.
I hear you, Brody.
I knew you were going to do that. Do you have a feeling at some point in this series, if the Knicks are like closing it out, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Hart's probably the guy. Like you heard Josh Hart doing the whole the lights are brighter thing to take a shot at Jared Allen.
You wanted us?
But
you got us.
You have a feeling that somewhere along the line, this Paul Reed stuff is going to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely coming back.
They're going to hit him with the mystical. You've been looking for me? Here I go! You know somebody going to do it. I mean, athletes take every form of motivation to do that.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun. All right, more calls. 800-919-3776. Frank in New Rochelle. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, a couple of things. I don't think you can change who you are by trying to pick up the pace. I like your thought about Embiid, but I, you know, you are who you are for 82 games.
Yeah, they're the slowest paced team in the league.
But you want to run.
That's who they are.
Yep.
The pick and roll with putting Embiid in the pick and roll, I like the idea, but won't he be guarding Hartenstein? And, you know, he's not an offensive threat unless
he's
the
is.
Rim.
Well, no, he is. No, the complete opposite. He's not a lob threat at all. What he is he's the. He is a, if you give it to him, he's a terrific passer, so you can't give him space. And he has the floater that he is, I mean, he tore up recently with that floater. So,
you got to play the floater, him. But to a degree. The guy that I'm really
Robinson, you're right about. If it was Robinson, I'd agree with you that all you have to do is take away the rim.
How about McBride? He has to prove himself.
Yes, he does.
Can he handle the pressure, even if he only plays 6 or 8 minutes?
Doesn't matter.
And the other
guy
is Bogdanovich.
Yes.
Bogdanovich,
right.
He has to hope Tibbs trusts him to go out there for 10 to 12 minutes. And if he hits a couple of threes, it changes the game. If he doesn't, then you sit him down.
You're right. Those are the areas of this series that I think we'll be picking at the most. That's why we said, who else? We know what Brunson can do. Who is going to be the other player that you're like, hey, that series, that was his. That was his series. He did a great job in that series. My theory is this, Bar. Deuce could have a good run here and establish himself going forward. But if point guard play off the bench is a concern in the postseason and those non-Brunson minutes become an issue for this team where it costs them.
Nah, I see where you're going with this.
If Chris Paul doesn't stay in Golden State.
Hamstring helper.
I could see Chris Paul coming to New York and playing that role here.
For how much?
He doesn't want to retire. He's made that clear.
For how much?
Well, you don't have to give him a ton.
$5 million. He'd be coming off a $30 million.
I know, but he knows that he's not that. Just like Klay Thompson knows he's not going to make $48 million anymore, right? Klay Thompson's going to stay in Golden State and just stay for the salary that's commiserate with the role, which is going to be an off the bench guy. But Chris Paul, if he doesn't stay in Golden State, and it doesn't feel like he will because it's too expensive, I can kind of see that.
I would.
Couldn't you?
I would. Yeah.
A veteran, experienced, smart player off the bench who has ties to the front office.
He's always broken down, man.
But he wasn't this year. This year
he missed a lot of time.
But he played really well for them this year, though. He did.
I mean, I think he fits more with the Knicks than he does with Golden State.
But you could see why you would do that. Again, it's smart. You want to see Deuce run with this thing and be great. That's what, if you're a Knicks fan, that's what you want to see. But if those non-Brunson minutes become a concern about how we can't get organized offensively and we can't get a good offensive set, you know, that has been a problem. Their offense really does shut down when Brunson goes to the bench. I think Chris Paul would end up being one of the options that they would consider as, okay, how do we take the next step? That's what you do.
So Paul and who? It can't just be Chris Paul.
Well, that's just one piece that you'd have to fix. I mean, there's other things that you'd have to look at, but I need to see how things play out here.
How surprising is it the fact that the Bulls have played so well of late, being that they don't
know Zach LaVine?
Or Ball.
Yeah, well, because Kobe White has been fantastic. He's really come into his own. He'll win most improved player this year. He's been fantastic. He's really showed you that next level. Now, he's a lottery pick that is really starting to prove himself as a terrific scorer. He's played great. Him, Caruso's defense, and his ability to hit the three, they've figured out who they are at this point, and it's gotten better and better. They were a mess in the middle of the season. It cost them. But they're playing really well down the stretch. I think the Bulls are going to beat the Heat tomorrow night. No Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
I'd put my money on the Bulls. If the Bulls are not the favorite, putting my money on them.
Like you said, the Bulls have been playing well. Like, you know, they gave the Knicks everything that they wanted a couple weeks ago. And then even in the Garden, it was hit or miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they had to pull it out late. You know, I like the way they play.
Let's take Allen in Uniondale. What's up, Allen?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Ain't not much. It's crazy, though. You took the wind out of my sails, man. You talked about speeding up the tempo. But let me get into this, though. So I went to Miami one summer. I went to this place called Grails. You could buy a drink in a Jordan 1 glass sneaker. It's like a Jordan 1 glass, and you can take like a whole margarita drink in there. So I went over there for that. Carlos Boozer was there. I met Carlos Boozer. And I asked him, because I was a T-Mac fan, right, a long time ago. And I'm like, yo, on that Houston Rockets series, how the hell did you guys win that series? You guys were down 2-0, and they won 4 straight. Jerry Sloan, the great Jerry Sloan. Remember, they were a pick-and-roll team. They like to play slow. You know what he did? He sped it up, got Yao Ming out the game. Sped up the game, made Yao Ming only play like 5 minutes a quarter. As soon as he got out the game, slowed it right back up. Slowed the game right back up. And you're right, that's how we got to beat the Sixers. Slow the game down. I mean, speed it up.
Speed it up, and then
out of there.
Right.
Speed it up, get the beat out of there. So now I agree with you 1,000%. And Jerry Sloan did that with Yao Ming, and they came back, won 4 straight. So I agree with you.
Hey, it's a great point, and if you were watching last night, and you know the Knicks were certainly watching, their scouts are watching, everything else, that stood out
zone
to me more than anything.
Zone and pace.
Yes, zone and pace, and the fact that Embiid, defensively, non-factor. You want him moving, he doesn't want to move. He can't. That knee is holding him up. He is not playing. He's not physically at the MVP level he is. Now, if you let him just catch the ball and shoot, he's still a great scorer. But, yeah, no, that's a great call and something certainly to watch as we get closer to the series.
I was going
to
ask him when he talked to Boozer, did he have that shoe polish on his head?
Why you got to be like that?
Remember he came with the shoe polish, man? Bruh, you know we can see that.
He was trying. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll finish up with an Adam Schefter observation about something the Jets did this week that might have – tip the hand of what they're going to do in the draft. But before we get to all that and finish up with your calls, before we hand it off to the K Show, Bart, tell me about PanCan.
Oh, man. I've been telling y'all all week about PanCan.
Tell me more.
PanCan Purple Stride is the ultimate walk to end pancreatic cancer. If you or a loved one has been affected by pancreatic cancer, Purple Stride is the event for you. Your participation in fundraising makes all the difference in advancing progress for patients. Join the movement on Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. at the South Street Seaport, Pier 17. Register for free today at purplestride.org/New York. That's purplestride.org/New York.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Think about this. A week from now, we are doing our draft preview. Getting ready. The Giants pick at 6. The Jets pick at 10. We've already talked about the Giants earlier.
Have our mock day?
You want to do a little? A top 10 mock?
Yeah, we should do a mock.
You want to do it on Thursday next week? Thursday next week, you do a mock.
No, we should do a Wednesday.
Wednesday mock?
Like Wednesday, do the first 15.
15?
And then Thursday, do the last 10. 15.
It's too much work.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Because it could get crazy, though, because we got trades and stuff out.
Yeah, I'm feeling like top 10's enough just to get the locals in.
Okay, just get the juice in.
Because nobody cares after 10.
But what if the Giants end up with pick 23
and
pick
11? You want to start doing all that. So anyways.
Yeah, I just almost gave myself homework. What the hell is
that? See, that's what I mean. You'd have to do some work. So Adam Schefter said this on NFL Live. Remember, on Monday, we had the Aaron Rodgers showing up at the facility, giving us the Tim Tebow slow motion walking into the building thing. Mm-hmm. And that was great to see as the players were there. And then we got video of him throwing to Garrett Wilson. That day, the Jets also brought in for a visit Brock Bauer, the tight end from Georgia that has been linked to them at pick number 10. And Shefty said that is not a coincidence. Oh, I'm trying to play it.
Shefty said.
And overall picks today, they entertain the Georgia tight end Brock Bowers, who is projected to be a top pick in the upcoming draft. The Jets will have options. Tight end will be one of them. And Brock Bowers is a multifaceted weapon that the Jets certainly could find good use for. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers would love to have him. And probably not coincidental they have Brock Bowers in the first day that Aaron Rodgers is back. I'm sure the two men could get to meet and spend a little bit of time together.
Bart, does Aaron Rodgers want Brock Bowers as the pick at number 10?
Of course, because he probably thinks, hey, man, I can get Bakhtiari here and I can have two left tackles, but that don't bode well for the future. You have to ask yourself, like, listen, if it's a doomsday, it's not a discussion for me.
Right. If he's there, you take
doomsday,
him. I agree.
If it's neighbors.
You probably don't expect them to be there, though.
Yeah, but
right?
somebody always drops that we never know. Somebody moves up and takes a corner. Or somebody moves up.
If the Giants trade out or somebody trades out because another team wants to come in and take a quarterback, now all of a sudden those two wide receivers, somebody's left.
Yeah, the first five could be quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be first five. You know what I mean? So after that, who knows? I mean, first four could be that and Marvin Harrison. That's five. And then it can get crazy because we know pass rusher is going to be one. And who knows if somebody else moves back. because somebody else identifies somebody else. So, like, if it's doomsday, I'm taking it.
Now, EJ Manuel was on Get Up this morning, and he said something very interesting about the Jets at 10. Well, all of us are saying you're going to need you got to go offensive line, wide receiver, whatever it is, or trade back. He had this to say about the Jets and Brock Bowers.
The most important priority for them has to be protecting him at all costs.
Well, protection can be done a bunch of different ways, too. You can have tight ends that chip. Maybe it's Brock Bowers and he goes out into a route. So I think the school of thought is two things. If you want to try to win the Super Bowl right now, you go Brock Bowers.
Why did you bring Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly. You put up a lot of points.
I'm with that.
A tight end like
I disagree with you. I disagree with that thought. I think Brock Bowers is a great pick for the future. He will be a great weapon for them or someone for a long time. But immediately, right this year, they need offensive line help.
And EJ told me when we were talking about it after the show, he said this guy is immediately, and so did Damian Woody. He will step in. He will be an immediate impact player.
I mean, just look at what LaPorta did.
And right? They said that he's better than LaPorta.
Of course. He's going to first round. LaPorta didn't go in the first round.
What I'm saying is like the impact. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, getting more skill and putting talent around Aaron Rodgers, maybe this is, you know, as Mel Kiper has been kind of suggesting, maybe this is the pick at 10. We shall see. All right, K-Show coming up next. Bart and I, we'll see you tomorrow.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.